I think the most important thing that I think a lot of agents lose sight of is to put yourself in the shoes of the consumer and really see, if I was a consumer, how would I perceive this coming across my feed? Try to empathize more with who they are and what they want to see.
Welcome back to the Agents Who Crush It in Real Estate, the podcast where we dive deep into the strategies, stories, and secrets of the most successful realtors in the business. I'm your host, Lindsay Favaza, and joining me today is Nick Kozak. Nick isn't just any realtor. He's a Southeastern Massachusetts native who has turned his passion for real estate into a thriving career. Starting as an investor, remodeling local single-family homes, Nick has developed a keen eye for what makes a property truly stand out. But what really sets Nick apart in his unique approach to connecting with clients and the market through his creative and often hilarious real estate related videos. With a background in art and design and education, Nick brings a fresh perspective to buying and selling homes, offering not just transactional advice, but a vision for what a home can become. His dedication to his clients, combined with his market savvy and negotiation skills, has made him a go-to expert in Massachusetts and Rhode Island. So, if you're looking for inspiration on how to elevate your real estate game, or just a good laugh for out of some of Nick's viral videos, you're in the right place. Let's dive into the world of real estate with a man who knows how to crush it, both in sales and creativity. Nick Kozak, welcome to the podcast today, my friend.
Hello, thank you.
You're so welcome. I hope I did you justice in my intro.
It sounded like it. Sounded good.
It's always awkward when you're sitting there listening to someone, you know, go on and on about you, but you earned it, my friend.
Thank you.
So take us back to the beginning. You were going to school for art and design and all of these things. How did you get into real estate? What was that path for you?
Yeah. So I was an art teacher. I taught elementary school, middle school, high school. You know, I kind of went through all the levels just to kind of see if it was for me still. And, you know, it had its perks, but I really wasn't into teaching. And so I started to flip houses. I started to get into that with my father, and did a couple every year, and it was really fun. I really enjoyed it a lot. And then I really enjoyed real estate in general. So then I just decided, why don't I get my license? I can sell houses. I can still experience houses and advise on design and stuff. But I won't assume all the risk of buying a property, trying to get a profit out of it after I flip it. I can just sell houses and help people find houses and sell their houses instead and still experience that stuff.
Still be involved, but not have to bear the whole thing on your shoulders.
Yeah. And then finding those houses were getting more and more difficult every year.
Yes.
To find ones with a good meat on the bone that were a good deal.
So when did you start doing the whole flipping thing with your dad and stuff?
That was probably 2014, 2015. And then around 2016 is when I did my last flip without my dad. I did one on my own, and that's when I was like, you know, it was a tight one. I had a small profit on it. And then that's when I decided, why don't I just get my real estate license and do it?
Cool. Did you and your dad like share, you know, this love of like construction and rehab and stuff like that? Was your dad kind of in that kind of business, or how did he kind of get involved with you on it?
No, he was actually CEO of a credit union. And then he was getting close to retiring at that point and just looking for stuff to do to keep him busy, and knew that I had an interest in it. So we kind of just, you know, he followed my vision on that stuff. And then we had construction people that we knew that we used together. And yeah.
That's awesome. That must have been a great bonding though, too, still just doing that process with him. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
So your flipping houses, you're like, oh God, this might not be like long-term plan. So maybe I'm going to get my license. So tell us like what that process was of getting your license and when you got first started in the business.
Yeah. So 2017, I think it was, I wanted to get my license. I knew Jennifer Mello from high school, and I liked the brand that they were presenting. And I kept seeing their signs around town. And so I approached her and said, you know, hey, I'd like to get into real estate. I figured, you know, maybe eventually I could come work for your company once I get some experience, because I didn't know. You know, I thought they had an image that, you know, they were all really successful. And I thought, oh, you know, they only hire successful agents.
You have to work up to it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So she said, oh, no, just, you can just start here now. So I was like, okay. So I got my license and then I started working there. Basically, I just kind of shadowed her, did like a ride along with her and go to appointments and stuff like that. And I learned quickly that way. And then I started doing all of the typical newbie things like door knocking and cold calling and calling expireds and all that stuff. And
paying your dues.
Yeah. The part of the business that we don't really like. But I, you know, I did that for a little while and that got me some business. And then, as you know, the more business you do and the more you produce, then the more people want to use you. They want to use the busier people, the ones that do it all the time.
Yeah.
So then it just kind of grew from there.
That's awesome. So what about your sphere? Because I know I have heard of so many people that have started as teachers and been very successful in real estate. Just because you're part of a community, you meet a lot of people, you interact with a lot of people. And even though you may not remember all of the students that you had, they remember you. And then they're getting up to, you know, they're growing older and they're starting to look at buying houses and stuff like that. So I know that being a teacher is a really great stepping stone into real estate, even though it seems like it wouldn't match up. So did your sphere kind of show up for you? Did you lean on them? Was there any kind of like callback to that job that you had to try to get business from it? Or did you kind of start fresh and just say, you know what, I'm going to get experience first and then go from there?
I would say my sphere probably doesn't include anyone from a teaching career at all. I've always been out and about. I like to go out in the community. I like to go into the bank when I can. I like to go into the coffee shops. So I always socialize with people out and about. You know, I would say I'm pretty extroverted. So I know a lot of people just naturally from being about town. And I've lived in Swansea and Westport. So I have a lot of people from both towns. A lot of experience in New Bedford area, yep. But then also, you know, Swansea to Providence area. So I have a wide network of friends and family and acquaintances.
That's awesome. And,
yeah.
So I see a guitar in the back. Is that yours? Are you also musical?
Yep, I play guitar. Play the ukulele sometimes too, and you know, I like to dabble in a little bit of everything.
So let's talk about your creative side, because that's, you know, I would say a good chunk of the reason that I was like, I got to have this guy on. You're doing real estate. You're doing your thing. You're starting to get deals. When did you decide, you know what, I'm going to put myself out there a little bit differently than most and get a little creative with my social, my videos?
That's a good question. Because when I first got into real estate, I viewed it as kind of like a weird thing where everybody puts this picture of themselves out there and it's like a JCPenney
10 year
photo.
Old headshot. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a yearbook photo or like a JCPenney headshot. It's weird. And it kind of weirded me out a little bit. I'm like, it was kind of cheesy. So I kind of just started to make fun of that cheesiness and made like memes of myself. And just kind of making fun of that portrait, that stale portrait. And I, you know, I took like the photo of the 40-year-old virgin, Steve Carell, and I put my face on it and made it the 40-year-old realtor, things like that. And, you know, I started with the memes and then eventually, that was probably, it was probably just memes for the first year or two when I started doing it.
Yeah.
And even then, like, people were like, what the hell are you doing, man? And all I could think of was, you know, as a consumer before I was a realtor, and even now I still try to put myself in a consumer's seat. And if I'm scrolling on Instagram or Facebook and I see realtor photos, I'm like, oh God. Or I see all these real estate posts. If I'm not looking for a house, I'm just scrolling past it. And I'm like, how do I get people to pay attention? How do I get people to follow me? It's very much a long game, not a short game. And yep. I think people are always pandering to the people now. But those people now, they've already got somebody in mind. They've already got a bunch of people after them. So I'm always just, how do I stay on the radar of people that are a year or 2 years or 3 years down the road? Because how do I get them to not follow, like not unfollow me? Yeah. How do I get them to stay engaged and want to see what I'm posting? Mm-hmm. Most of them want to be entertained. They want to know that I'm competent, but they don't really care about the house that I'm selling right now or the mortgage rates. I mix that in, but mostly I'm just trying to entertain and keep them following me so they don't forget about me.
Yeah.
And so they don't unfollow me, because then they'll forget they ever unfollowed me and I'll never see them again.
Exactly. Exactly. So how do you come up with ideas? Like, you know, how do you, you're sitting there, you went from memes to videos, and
yeah.
Was that a natural progression for you? Or was there someone that was like, you know, you should probably do video. And then you were like, oh, I could do this kind of stuff with videos.
Yeah, my first video was Hello by Lionel Richie. And I just heard it on the radio and I started making real estate lyrics to it and laughing about it. So I decided to make a video and I wrote the song out. I made the video and it was funny and I think it was a great success. And then, you know, I just started looking for that kind of pop culture that appealed to Gen X, because I'm Gen X and most of the people I know are Gen X. I know some millennials and some boomers, but generally my sphere is Gen X.
Yep.
And 80s and 90s pop culture is what I go for.
And me too. Probably why I love your videos.
Thanks. So plus also Gen X are, you know, it's not their first rodeo most of the time. You know, I have some Gen Xers that they were getting their first house. They've been renting for so long, but most of them, they know the process a little bit. They've owned at least a house. So they have a house that, you know, they want to buy a new house. They want to sell their other house. So it's a multiple transaction thing as well. And I want them to continue to use me. I want them to use me in the future. I want them to tell their friends and family about me. So, you know, I may be funny on the videos, but, you know, like that in the field, when I am showing houses and selling houses, it is 100% professional. It's not a joke. But it again, it's how do you get people to keep wanting to see your content? It has to be engaging. It has to be funny and entertaining.
If you look definitely at other, stand out, you know?
Yeah. And a lot of people won't want to try it. You know, they I'm not afraid of copycats. Like, most people don't want to do it anyway. And it might not be their thing anyway. You know, Everybody's got their thing. Somebody might be really into sports. Use that. You know, I happen to really be into arts and culture and music. And I've always enjoyed comedy and just having a fun time. And I want people to feel that I'm accessible. I don't want them to feel like I'm snooty. I've grown up in large houses, 4,000 square foot houses. I've sold $1 million houses. I've sold $200,000 trailer homes, you know, and I treat everybody the same. And I want people to know that. I don't want people to think, oh, he only sells big expensive houses, so he doesn't want to deal with me. And I also don't want people to think, oh, he's, he only sells cheap houses. He can't handle my rich, nice luxury house.
Yeah.
I can handle it all. I can sell anything. It's really, sales is not about opening doors. Just anybody can open a door and say, hey, have at it. I always guide every showing. I guide them through. I explain everything about the house. And it's also about marketing and visibility. If you don't get people to see you and see that house, well, you can't sell it if nobody shows up.
Yep.
So I think I do that better than probably anyone around here is exposure and getting people to look at me, you know, but not in an annoying way.
Yeah.
And if I've got to get a property out there, I'm going to get it seen by more people than most people around here are capable of.
I love that you brought that up, because a lot of the times I'll talk to agents and their biggest stopping point with social media in general is that they don't want to be annoying, or they don't want to be embarrassed by whatever they're posting, or they don't want their like family and friends to be like, oh, what are they doing? Right. And like, I always say to them, like, what do you care? Like, why do you care? If it's something that you want to do, then who cares what anybody thinks? And if it's going to help you to help someone buy a house, which it will, because you're putting yourself out there and they're going to want to gravitate to you, then why does it matter? You know? So I love that you said that about, like, just, you know, if it's not for you, then that's great. And you probably, Nick, are not going to have any competition because there are not many people that are willing to put themselves out there.
Right. But my take is I'm going to see them in person anyway.
Yeah. And they're going to know that you're silly and goofy and fun.
Yeah. And you've got to talk to these people. I don't want to meet them for the first time in person. Like, I want them to see me on screen. You know, most realtors, they judge them by a picture, like a little picture and some kind of quote or whatever. Like, that's not enough to gauge who that person is. So I try to share who I am, so people get an idea of who I am before they even meet me. It breaks that barrier. It's you're breaking the ice with that person. So I run into people outside sometimes. I don't know who they are, and they say hello to me like I know them.
Like they know, yeah.
Because they've seen my content and they know me. They know me. I don't know them, but they're like, oh hey, how's it been? So it's kind of interesting experiencing that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a little local celebrity, you know? I always say that about like Chip and Joanna, you know? If they had never put their television show, if they hadn't shared their kids and their hobbies and their, like, you watch that show and it was so successful because it wasn't just them buying and, you know, flipping a house for a client. It was like all of their story, what they love, what they do. It was authentic to them. And that's what made it popular. And if you did see them on the street, you'd be like, oh my God, it's them, because you felt so invested and felt like you really knew them. So I think that's really awesome. And it's a testament to the fact that, like, you're not afraid and you'll take the risk and you'll go out there. And you know what? If they want to work with you, great. And if they don't, that's fine too.
Yeah. If they don't, I won't hear from them.
I mean,
never know.
That's actually a great question, because, like, segue, I guess, because do you feel like, have you gotten hate or negative comments on some of these things? And how do you take that? Or you do not get that?
No, I don't actually. I mean, I did post one of my Christmas videos on TikTok. There was a lot of, at least you've got a house and all this stuff. Like, but it was like, you know, look, it's a parody. It's not about, I'm not actually complaining about my house. Like, it's I'm not going to go into somebody else's house because it happens to be shittier than mine, just so I can film it and say I want a new house. Like, because then that's insulting to them. Hey, your house is crappy. Can I film this song about wanting a better house in your crappy house?
How would you even broach that?
Right. So I have to use my own house or my family's houses or something like that for these videos. Yeah. So I think there's a weird thing in that TikTok community where they kind of take things too seriously.
TikTok is definitely different. I literally just said this to a couple of people on my team, literally within like the last week, that we went to go post one of like the videos that we do for the Crush It page, which, you know, we get really good comments and stuff on Instagram and people are super supportive and are awesome and cheering us on. And then we posted on TikTok and it was like so much negativity.
Yeah.
And I was happy that there was comments because that helps, you know. But I was like, holy crap, what is wrong with everybody on TikTok? They're so angry.
Yeah. I mean, I use it just to kind of see what happens.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll post something on TikTok before the other stuff and just to see if it runs. And if it runs, I'm like, oh, okay, this is probably going to be successful. And all of a sudden it doesn't do anything on Instagram.
I know. So crazy. What is this?
Yeah, it's weird. I stopped trying to chase the algorithms and figure that stuff out. And just because then at a certain point, it's going to compromise my content.
Yes.
So I just do what I feel is best for me to do, regardless of what the algorithms say, because they keep changing that stuff anyway.
They're always going to move the goalpost for sure.
And the more you do it also, for anybody that's afraid of video, the more you do it, the better you get. When I was painting as a fine artist, you know, easel time, the more time spent on that easel, the better and quicker and more accurate at painting you'll get. It goes the same for anything. The more you practice playing an instrument or just being comfortable in front of video, you just got to do it. If you're introverted, this is the greatest business for you.
Yeah. And, you know, get out of your own head, because at the end of the day, you're your own biggest critic. Like, you know, we'll sit here right now and every once in a while I'll glance at myself and I'm like, oh God,
yeah.
You know, like we're only going to judge ourselves. We're going to say, why did we do our hair like that? Or why did we say, or, oh, I hate my voice. Right. You can sit and say that all day, but no one else is doing that. No one else cares.
Yeah. You're not going to be talking to somebody and have them say, hey, your voice is stupid. They would never say that. You're talking to them all the time. Like, everybody hates their own voice. They all hate how they look on video.
Yeah.
But that doesn't change. You don't look different or sound different when you're in person with somebody.
No, it's your face.
So get over it.
Yeah, get over it. Move on. That's so funny. So how do you, like, I definitely want to stay on this content thing, because I do think that it's really what attracted me to bring you on today, because I really think that it's a struggle point for a lot of realtors. So what is the, like, cadence? How do you come up with that idea? And then how do you kind of make it come to fruition? Do you have it set in your head? Like, I got to do one a week, or like, do you have any kind of formalities around it? Or is it just, you know what, something pops up, I think of it, I do it. Like, what's your plan?
Yeah. I mean, I wish I could be more consistent with it, where it was like something every 2 weeks, but I don't know if other creative people have a similar thing, but I feel like creative energy ebbs and flows. So sometimes it's really strong and I will bang out like 3 songs in a week. And then sometimes it's low and I'll be in a slump and I won't create anything. And if I try to, it just doesn't work. So when I feel like it's really pumping and I've got a lot of creative energy, I'll try to maximize and do as much as I can while it's there. Cause
that's
it's not always pegged, you know, you're not always in that zone.
Nope.
So you got,
and then it'll come off inauthentic, like you said.
Right. And it's all about authenticity, you know, like Chip and Joanna Gaines, like you never thought it was an act. I mean, it seems pretty genuine. I'm sure they, you know, maybe they staged a situation, but they're improvising and coming up with, they're not following a script.
No, definitely not.
So I think that's why, if you're not a musical person or into that kind of stuff, then don't try to do that. Try to do whatever your interests are.
Exactly. So,
if you're into baking cakes or something, you make that connection. I don't know how to make that connection with real estate, but you know, figure it out. Yeah.
I mean, and it doesn't even have to be a connection to real estate. It could just be that you like baking and you want to share recipes on your page. And then in between that, you talk about the homes that you sold. Like, yeah, it doesn't have to be, cookie cutter. Ha ha. Get it? Cake cutter, maybe. So take us back to your, like, take us back to real estate. And, you know, how has that transitioned for you as far as, like, have you gotten deals from people that have followed you, or has it been more of a nurture where they're like, you know what, I really love this guy because of the things that he's doing? Like, what has it kind of turned out for you? Like, what have you gotten from it?
I would say, like, I don't prospect really at all. You know, I suppose I could really scale if I decided I really wanted to do that. But pretty much everything is referral based. I've gotten people from Facebook. Generally, they all know me in some way, shape, or form, whether they're a distant acquaintance or a close friend. But I've had people on Facebook share my stuff with their family member that I don't know at all, and I've gotten business that way. I've gotten business from old high school friends that I haven't seen in years, but I'm connected on Facebook. So, I mean, it's all people that generally know me for some way. But I would say a lot of business comes from social media.
Yeah.
And generally, they're not strangers.
No.
And if they are, I've come highly recommended to them.
Yep.
So it's already open and there is no barrier to overcome.
Yep. So it's really for you, social media is not a lead generator. It's more of a warmer upper. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm really coming with the words today. It's really a way for you to have someone get to know you before they even meet you.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you push the videos out any other way, or do you just push them on social and that's it? Or do you email them, or do you text them to people? Like, any other way that you kind of use to promote them?
I've done that, but generally I just post it on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube.
Yeah.
YouTube's kind of like a folder to keep them in. It doesn't really, unless you're really focused on growing a YouTube channel, it doesn't just do it.
Yeah.
Facebook, Instagram, they're both, even though they're the same company, they're both very different. I've had videos on Facebook over 100,000 views on them, where Instagram, it seems like, I don't know, 20 to 30,000 views is an equivalent to that. And then on TikTok, you've got videos like 300,000 views, but it doesn't really mean anything.
No, it doesn't.
I feel like most business comes from Facebook for me.
Yeah.
That's where our generation generally congregates.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe a little dabbling on Instagram. I have to say, I'm all over TikTok. At night, I can scroll until I lose sleep. But that's just me. So, all right. So tell us about your deals in real estate in general. What has been, you know, you started out and you are kind of getting your feet wet, but where has your career kind of taken you and where are you at now?
Yeah, I would say I started at, I think, the perfect time. The market wasn't going crazy, but it was still busy enough. My first year, you know, I sold a few properties. Then my second year is when I, you know, things started to get real. And that was what, 2017 was where I got my license. 2018 is when I started to sell a few properties. 2019 is when it became,
started to pick up, yeah,
a real job, a real career. And then 2020 is when,
and then the pandemic hit.
Things got weird.
Things got very weird.
Yeah. And then that's when I started noticing other realtors like, oh, you know, you should go out. And I was kind of like stepping back, observing. I didn't want to be too salesy. I was like, this is a weird time. People are afraid to go out. Mm-hmm. So that's when I started to like really focus more on entertainment. I was like, people are stuck at home. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be sold to. I'm just going to entertain at this point and try to help people feel better about being alone and locked up.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it was like a switch turned on across the industry where everybody was just like, okay, it's okay to go out there. It's okay to sell. And it's okay to show houses now and all this mask stuff. But 2020 to 22 were, not real. Like that was like,
yeah.
It was, you know, it was, crazy. Sold a lot of properties, but it was easy. It was difficult to show the properties because you have 100 people lined up down the road and everybody's got masks. You can only let 2 people in at a time. And it was like I was like a conductor. I was like, okay, you go in this door and go up the stairs. Now you go in this door and go down the stairs. You're going to go up this way. You're going to go out that door. And it was all about
crazy. You
know, yeah. And I kept things moving and kept it smooth. By the end, you know, because I do like to explain and talk about the house to everybody that comes through, and I don't like them to wander aimlessly and leave with questions. Mm-hmm. I would leave a listing with a dry throat and barely be able to talk anymore because I was talking for like 3 hours yeah. straight to 100 mm-hmm. people. But it was not hard to sell a house because they would sell in like 2 days. Yeah. And that's when the numbers really went up, and selling 20, 30 houses in a year. And then last year was more of a real year, mm-hmm. kind of like before the pandemic, where
you had to work for it.
Yeah. You had to work for it. The rates were higher. People were more reluctant to buy or sell, and it was still a good year. And, this year I've got a lot of stuff lined up. So now it's starting, awesome. Things are starting to trickle out now that the sun came back.
Yeah.
But
it's cold today, but you know, other than that, yeah. Well, that's awesome. Well, we're unfortunately at the end. This was super fun.
Oh, wow.
But I know it's crazy. It goes by really fast. Sometimes I look up and I'm like, oh crap. So I wanted to just ask you my last question that I always seem to ask is, you know, what advice would you give to someone that's watching this? Maybe they're in the same boat that you were in 5-6 years ago, where you're just kind of starting out and kind of getting your feet wet. What kind of advice would you give to that person that's watching and listening to you today?
I would say, I think the most important thing that I think a lot of agents lose sight of is to put yourself in the shoes of the consumer and really see, if I was a consumer, how would I perceive this coming across my feed? How would I perceive this person? And you know, try to empathize more with who they are and what they want to see. Yeah. It's not about you. Mm-hmm. It's not about what you can't wait to say what you want to say. And you're always just waiting for the other person to stop talking so you can keep interjecting with what you want to say. No, listen to them. Mm-hmm. Think about what they want to hear and what they want to see. Mm-hmm. And also be authentic. Don't try to be something you're not, because it's not going to work. And you're not going to be, even if you do get successful being something that you're not, you're not going to be enjoying your life.
No.
You know?
No, it's not comfortable. It's not scalable.
Right. If you are authentic and being yourself, then you can scale all you want. And it's, mm-hmm. you're always, it's not like a job. It's,
yeah.
You're just enjoying your life and having fun, socializing with people and helping them achieve what they want to achieve. Yeah.
It's such a good point that, you know, someone who's not willing to put themselves out on social media, but every single realtor will tell you that their biggest reason for being in real estate is that they want to help people. But then they say, oh, but I can't do video because I can't look at myself. Well, that's selfish. Really, yeah. At the end of the day, it's a selfish way to look at it, because you not posting that video that could have helped someone or could have made them call you is now hurting their future at owning real estate. So it's kind of a selfish thing to not put yourself out there, I think, in this business.
Yeah. And I think there are a lot of people that are not in it to help people. So
yeah,
I just really want to get people's attention. I want them to use me because I really do want to help them. Mm-hmm. Money is just the byproduct of helping them achieve what they want to achieve. I don't need to focus on that. I want to focus on providing them the best service that they can get and having the best experience. I want them to walk away with a 5-star experience. I want them to give me a good review. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't want them to be soured. I don't want, if they have any regrets, I don't want them to be with me.
Yes.
So I can always say that nobody will ever have any regrets towards me, because mm-hmm. I'm never pushing them into choosing this or that, you know, like at the end of the day, I'm presenting them with their options and helping them choose, but I'm not I'm not choosing for them. I'm not saying this is the one.
Yep.
And, you know, I want them, I want to protect them from the ones out there that don't, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And don't be that one. Please don't be that one.
Exactly.
If you're listening and you're that one, stop it. Well, thank you, Nick, so much. I really appreciate you taking the time today to share your fun, to share. I think that's really like the bottom line when it comes to you. You're fun, you're authentic, you're you, you're creative. And you know, you think creatively for your clients as well. And they really benefit from working with you. So I really appreciate you taking the time today to teach our audience your tricks.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to do this.
Absolutely. Well, thank you all so much for listening and for watching. Make sure to, and I always point in the wrong direction. Oh, I did it right. Make sure to follow Nick on social and check out his videos for sure. I'm sure that they did not make it this far in the episode without going straight to your social media and checking it out. More than likely they did that already. But if not, we'll put them in the show notes. So make sure to check those out and, you know, reach out to Nick if you have any questions. And again, thank you so much for spending the time with us today.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Okay, guys, thank you so much for coming. And we'll see you on the next episode of The Agents Who Crush It in Real Estate.
Thank you for tuning in to the Agents Who Crush It in Real Estate podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, share it with your friends and colleagues and leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. If you're interested in being a guest, email us at info@crushitinre.com. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to crush it in real estate.